This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. What's a good...
We didn't even talk about Witt's family being like, he's never...
Yeah.
These
dumb inventions.
Always done this stuff, and I want to kill his invention.
Oh, yeah, Jana. Jana kind of gets dropped from the...
Yeah.
I was interested in what Jana was putting down. I was like, what? Say more. And her brother was like, shut up, Jana.
Yeah. I know, Jason. Fake Jason was very dismissive. Do you know what this is? You do.
It's like, it's We Are Family. It's like the backing track to We Are Family.
It's like the kids' pop version.
It's the kids' pop version of We Are Family. Oh, they put some muscle into it. Kids Bop, I adore Kids Bop. Kids Bop, they're icons. They're the moment.
They are the moment.
Oh, we played the Kids Bop for Old Town Road on this show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or Shallow.
I love it.
Okay.
Such a white version of We Are Family.
So
We Are
so
Family.
Like, right. On the time. Signature. Here we go.
Welcome to GCF Second Service. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have GCF Second Service with special guests for the second week in a row, Kale Hills.
Hello.
Making his fourth appearance on the podcast.
Welcome
after
back.
The
Ever?
Fifth one, my punch card is complete, right?
Hey, yeah. And then
you get a free episode?
No, no.
You're done.
He's released from our...
We won't call you anymore.
From our eternal torment. We're taking your calls once again. It's November. Carmania's over. The spooky, scary stuff is over.
Whew.
And now we're entering into what is a holiday season, which for some people brings out great positive memories. Coming back to the hometown, snuggling up with the old family pup
Taylor
before
Swift.
They're put down. Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. What about her?
I think she loves Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was born on a Christmas tree farm.
Yeah, she was born in a Christmas tree.
Part of the she was born. Her mom was a Christmas tree.
Out of one.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds fun. Nice.
Yeah.
So the topic that we gave people on Twitter, we'll see if they actually adhere to it, is the idea of holidays and family. A super broad topic that we hope people just...
Someone calls about Flag Day.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, when Labor Day, technically, the blah, 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 blah. Kale, right now, and you can get into it as vaguely or specifically as possible, but what's your relationship to holidays and family? What's your general feeling towards that?
Mixed. Like, I think you get to a certain age and everyone has to have some kind of mixed experience with family around the holidays because you grow and change as a person and your family's rituals grow and change, or you know enough, like someone dies close to the holidays, like something's going to happen mm-hmm. to make the holidays not as pure. But what I've found right now, so I am from Missouri. Most of my family lives in Missouri. I live in LA. What I have found to be a really effective strategy is I go home, but not on the holidays. I go like a couple weeks later.
Interesting.
And that's nice because I'm not caught up in the like rigmarole of all the holiday activities, and I get more of the genuine what we say the holidays are actually about, which is spending time with your family.
And it's cheaper.
So
much yeah. cheaper.
Now, is your family so angry at you for missing the big holiday that when you do arrive, they're like, well, look who decided
oh,
to
gosh,
up.
No, because my family is not a nuclear family anymore, okay. And it's been probably
oh,
like,
it's nuclear, all right. The yeah, nuclear explosion.
Blew up. Yeah, my parents' marriage blew up like an H-bomb. and I went away for college, and so over the last decade or so, it's become much more sporadic.
Everyone's like pretty comfortable.
I think it's very yeah. familiar okay. to everyone.
I am.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's yeah. a good strategy. Yeah,
I'm in a weird spot with families and holidays right now.
Yeah, what are you doing for holidays?
Well, Thanksgiving's for the last 8 years, I've stayed here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recommend that enough for anyone that lives more than a time zone away from their family. And if your family can be peaceable about you missing old gobble gobble day, mm-hmm. like friggin' do it.
Really?
I think so. I have a great time here every year.
Is that also because you get to go to another Thanksgiving and it's kind of fun to like...
Or multiple different ones.
Yeah.
One year I went
never
to
been
five
to someone
different Thanksgiving.
Whoa, I think that'd be
rom-com.
So fun. That is a rom-com.
It was. I brought a bag of rice cakes to each one. The same one because no one ate them. So they were unopened.
I would kick you out of my Thanksgiving.
I know. You'd be right, too. But Christmas, we're so split up as a family right now geographically. That's a little complicated to get everybody together. But what about for you, Caroline? We're opening the phone line. So I'm sorry if you get interrupted.
I'm sorry. I also just took a bite of the nice cookies you made us.
Oh, thank you. You're on the line with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey guys. Hey, Caroline, Kevin, and Kale.
Hey.
Eric from Victoria, Texas.
Victoria, I'm familiar.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah, do you know the connection of Lakewood Church to Victoria?
Oh, Victoria Osteen?
Yeah.
Is that the connection?
Yeah.
Victoria Osteen is Joel Osteen's wife, who, when she did allegedly assault a flight attendant when she was cleared of the charges, they did have a celebration service at the church that her name was cleared.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm talking about his sister is married to the pastor of the non-denominational like sister church.
In Victoria?
Of Lakewood, here in town. Yeah, in Victoria.
Oh.
Whoa.
Hey, wait, and is this your wife?
No, what? Wait, what?
This is like an Osteen family dynasty.
Yeah. So you inherit Lakewood when Joel dies, right? That's what you're telling us?
No. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm confused.
Well, we're talking about holidays and family, or if you got nothing to talk about with that, whatever you want.
I want to ask, are Christians aware of, I call them daywalkers, like people who, as far as anybody knows, is Christian, but is really an atheist?
Ooh, daywalkers.
It's called daywalkers?
I call them daywalkers, like from Blade.
Okay, yeah.
Blade will be a Marvel movie in a couple years.
Oh, tight. I can't wait to find out what Blade's all about.
Yeah, it's going
to
be Viggo Mortensen driving Blade around.
I'll be Blade for Halloween 2025 or whatever.
And how will you dress up, Caroline?
I won't do that.
Okay.
Sunglasses.
Like Justin Trudeau.
Mustache.
Daywalkers, yeah, I haven't heard that term that much, but now that makes me wonder who's in the friggin' mist, that is.
And I ask because I identify as atheist.
Okay.
And I'm in two Christian bands.
Oh.
And all my bandmates think I'm a Christian, but...
Oh, wow. Did you say you're in two Christian bands?
Yeah.
One, I thought you meant like I'm into Christian bands. Like I like
no, he's
bands.
In,
it's like
one,
I am into
Christian bands.
Oh,
well,
that too. That too.
Wow. What's that experience like for you?
It's interesting, but this podcast has given me a lot of ammo to be well versed.
Good.
In the lingo. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But it's kind of easy.
It hasn't been that well. Did you grow up Christian, or you? I was kind of
grew up Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a few key phrases that if you can deploy them. Speaking as someone who was spiritually dead for a couple years, I learned how to shield myself from any penetrability emotionally or spiritually from anyone speaking into my life. And if you know how to do that in jujitsu people and to like not probing deeper or pressing in at all, then it can work.
Speaking into my life is a good one.
Well, yeah, literally what I just said. See, it's so internalized. Like, are there any like go-to moves you have where it's like you kind of want to throw the gang off the trail, so you like use any like you deploy any like specific wording or phrasing or conversation topics?
Not specifically. I did really like endear myself or to somebody by singing "Good Good Father."
Oh,
like during practice.
That's who you are. Yeah,
and they were like, "Oh my God, you're so into the faith."
Whoa.
What a weird sense.
You're on fire.
You are in that phase.
Wow. Yeah. Whereas I sing Good Good Father all the time and no one gives me any compliments whatsoever, unfortunately.
Eric, can I ask how this situation started? Because what I'm curious about, was it with any kind of intention that you went in to like play with these bands and wanted them to think that you were a certain way, or did it just kind of like spiral? It was like, oh, oops, now it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late to talk about it.
Well, there was a point in the distant past where I was a Christian and in Christian bands and stuck with the music, and the faith just kind of went away. And I just kind of kept it up because I don't want to like lose the musicianship of it all. I like my bands. I like my bandmates.
Yeah, and you don't want to lose those friendships too.
Yeah. So
it's hard though, and I felt this way too, where sometimes so much of friendship, or most people's friendships, is built on commonality, either like common interests or common life stage or something like that. It's hard though when it feels like even the total core of a relationship has to be shared with faith, and if that goes away, then the friendships might go away. That's like a really hard space to occupy sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's what would happen with them? Like, if you did come out as an atheist, like that they?
The Lutheran church that I'm in a band with, I don't think anything would change. The band leader, I think, is kind of on to me a little bit.
so but, Richard Dawkins falls out of your back pocket. What's this? Opposition research.
But I think the Baptist AME church that I house band for, I think they would just like ask me not to come back.
Oh,
that's so sad.
Yeah.
Or they would. I feel like also they may just start like really honing in on you. Getting you to talk about
God. Yeah, like try to witness and sure.
yeah, salvage the remains.
Oh, boy.
Well, there is a great roadmap for your situation, and it's a movie called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. You will need to fall in love with a pastor's daughter.
Oh, there's also a great movie called I'm in Love with a Church Girl.
Yes, you can also follow that one.
There's also a great movie called Christian Mingle.
yeah, you have a lot of text to work with.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of people you can follow in their footsteps.
Oh, that's right. Ja Rule. I forgot about
the Ja Rule.
I'm basically Ja Rule.
You're Ja Ruling this band.
Who's excited?
Oh, no.
No one. Okay.
So you're saying I should get a Lamborghini?
Yeah, I think that's the quickest.
Oh, you don't have one already?
It's weird that you don't have one already.
You're behind.
Oh, Eric, well, thanks for calling and just talking about life and love and being a daywalker with us.
As far as family stuff, my favorite episode of Good Christian Fun, Second Service, is Caroline's mom.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love it.
Really? What'd you like about it? I mean, it woke my mom,
just the back and the back and forth between Kevin and Penny.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm still waiting on a redhead named Amy. Apparently,
he's gonna.
Is it Amber?
Yeah.
I thought it was Amy.
It was Amber.
I think it's Amy.
I think it was Amy.
It was Amy? Okay, my bad.
Yeah, Eric agrees with me.
Yeah, you remember your prophecy better.
I know. I need to check in with Penny on any recent developments she might have heard about from God.
To get cracking. I talked to her today. She's
and are y'all ever going to cover Audrey Assad?
Audrey Assad. Oh, she has an interesting story.
Who's that?
Audrey Assad. Is that, do you want to tell Caroline who she is, Eric?
She is a Catholic Christian artist. She had a porn addiction, and her music's pretty good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot there. It's a rich text.
There's a
interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Audrey's a good name. You like Audrey Hepburn? There you
sure.
go. See, you're on Caroline's on board. Well, thanks for calling, Eric.
And thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Pod bless.
God bless.
Bye.
All right, guys.
Daywalker. That is a good new term that we can use now.
Yeah, that is a good one. Porn addiction. What happened there? I wonder how she talks about that.
I mean, people have porn addictions.
I know, yeah. That's cool. That's not cool. I don't know. What am I trying to say? I just thought you don't hear a lot of women coming out about a porn addiction. I'd like to hear how that is woven into her music or how she talks about it.
I know. Porn addiction is almost like a stock addiction for a Christian male motivational speaker.
Like comes mm-hmm. with the package, I think.
Oh. No, let's talk about you and your family.
Oh, yeah.
It's so drivable that you can do it.
Yeah, my parents live about an hour 15 away in the Inland Empire. Mm. And Christmas is pretty magical. It gets really decorated to the nines. And my parents still wrap so many presents. And so Aww. It still is a mountain of presents on Christmas Day, which Whoa. Is pretty fantastic. And then stockings that are overflowing with candy and just whatever stuff.
Are they good presents though?
They're fine. They're better for the kids now, my nieces and nephews. And now we get books and socks.
So it's right. more for yeah. the show for them.
But it's still it's still kind of fun. And I still get competitive about who David got more this year.
Yeah, because I don't know what a good present would be as an adult.
Yeah, I mean tickets, money, I'll take all that stuff. Yeah. I still getting clothes or whatever. But so that part's still pretty amazing. I think but yeah, same with family. I have about a 2-day expiration time with my mm-hmm. family in that situation, especially when all of us are in the house and love them to death, and then we all start to get on each other's nerves, and it's time to drive home.
Is it pretty mutually understood that everyone's getting on each other's nerves too?
I guess so. Maybe. We're not we don't all refer to oh, here comes the second day mark or whatever, but I feel it, and so I'm always okay, it's time to go, thank yeah. you, love you, bye. And just try to. We did have a Thanksgiving blow up last year. We fought about Trump with my mom mm-hmm. at the table.
Oh, a blow
I cried.
Up, not a blowout.
No,
diaper-wise.
No, we didn't have a good time. It wasn't a cool party. So those things can happen, and I think that's what I'm trying to avoid by a long extended stay. Is we'll get there. And my mom and I have talked about that before. Of if we're around each other, there's some point where something gets gritty, and we have to be careful.
Well, you know who would help with that? Gritty. The Phillies mascot.
You and Gritty are pretty close, right?
Well, we did attend a buddy of mine texted and said oh hey, how was the baby shower? I said, oh, it was really good. The mother to be it ended with the mother to be making Gritty pretend to suck his own dick.
Oh, I love them so much.
Yeah.
I miss them.
They are
they're from Philly, so they live in Philly now.
All right. Let's see what the next call will be.
I also really like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. What do you like about it? Because I will say, I think the food
is fine.
It's just fine.
Whoa.
And then there's no, name one Thanksgiving song.
None. Yeah.
We gather together. A song that was in a Thanksgiving
Jersey
episode
Brown.
Of West Wing.
Oh. What's that? I think that's kind of what I like about Thanksgiving is it's a little bit under the radar, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just
it's
food based.
You do what you want to do.
Yeah, and there's less expectation for it.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, no. We're getting all the calls now. You're on the line with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Crystal. I'm from Australia.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wait, what time is it over there, Crystal?
It is about 1:45 on a Friday.
Whoa. Forgot
PM?
New day. You think you're our first Australia caller.
Oh, well, have you seen Leftover Season 3? Because that show rocks.
What was that?
Leftover Season 3, so much of it takes place in Australia. And that's like one
really?
Of my... Shut up. Stop shaking your head at me, Caroline. I've not
Such
told you to shut up, guess.
So tangential.
No, I'm just saying Australia.
Have you seen Lord of the Rings? Because that was filmed in an adjacent...
Nearby.
Well, no, I just thought, you know, maybe it was good for their tourism or something.
Snow dogs?
Shut up.
Good for tourism.
Snow dogs.
Look, I was never
going
to go to Australia.
What,
until...
should I have said The Matrix? The Matrix was filmed in Australia. I'm just saying, like,
that's
it was
pretty
a very...
cool.
If you'd seen The Leftovers, you'd understand. That's a great show about faith that you'll never watch.
I would like to watch it.
Love for me. Well, what's your, do you have a question for us, Crystal? Sorry for fighting before.
I don't know if it's so much a question. So, I mean, yeah, grew up pretty, like, typically evangelical as well. Mm-hmm. One side of my family is Greek, so had, like, a bit of, like, Greek Orthodox thrown in there as well.
Oh.
But so that'd be, like, it'd be interesting, I reckon, if, like, you guys could get, like, a guest that happened to have that background.
Greek Orthodox stuff. I don't know. Do you know anybody that has a Greek kale?
Like, Nia Vardalos.
Nia Vardalos. Okay. Is there anyone else besides Nia Vardalos?
My bosses might be Greek Orthodox, I think.
What better way to come out to them that you have a podcast,
God,
Caroline?
Can you imagine? The only time I pray is to ask God that my bosses don't listen to my podcast. So I need them to respect me.
So, Caroline, come into my office, Caroline. We wanted to talk to you about checks notes. Buity. We had a few questions about that.
So you're a marketing professional, is that right,
yeah, and
Caroline?
So you thought that would be an effective way to sell a product called Acuity, Caroline Ely. And then they promote you is the twist.
Oh,
of it.
That'd be so cool.
You deserve a raise.
I shouldn't hold back so much.
Oh man, yeah. I don't know. There's so much of like Australian culture that's so rich for examining from the evangelical stuff. Obviously, what was the name of the podcast that you were listening to, Caroline? That got into Hillsong's history with it.
So I would like your opinion on Hillsong, but yeah, it was a podcast called Eating for Free, which it's like it's kind of a body quality podcast. But they did.
I got
do
a new
a
podcast.
Full,
you know what it's called?
What?
Eating Ain't Cheating.
Yeah.
But they talked about Hillsong a lot, and they said that, like, and maybe you could confirm or deny that in Australia, like the general consensus is like people don't really like Hillsong and they think they're like kind of bad for the community.
So interesting. Like, I actually listened to that whole podcast on
you listen to that podcast. I listened to Hillsong.
Wow, that you jumped down her throat like you jumped down my throat for bringing
ready
up the left
to pounce.
So
you listen to that.
What I was gonna say, so there's actually like a Hillsong site like where I live now. It's interesting though. It's kind of, you go there and like watch the live stream from like their Sydney service. A few of my friends were going to it. And they're like, I'd say like fairly progressive, but like, they liked it for a bit, I suppose. I suppose from a personal point of view, I feel like, a bit turned off by like Hillsong. Like, I'm not, like, I wouldn't identify myself as Christian.
I wonder at a certain point if it's like Target in terms of like name recognition or like Walmart or something that has like more of an association
brand.
With like negative. Yeah, where it's just like brand recognizable. So wherever they put one, if it's like market tested to the right degree, it'll do a certain amount of well to okay, and then the system just perpetuates on name recognition alone. Mm-hmm. Which even like Amazon now, when we're all fully educated on like the horrors and evils of Amazon, we're like, well, my cookbook's still $8 cheaper there, you know, and still
Something.
So it feels
And there's been like a few other like sort of well, like I don't know if you've heard of like Planet Shakers, but that's another one that's they've made one where I live as well. So like fairly big church in Australia as well.
Interesting.
Sort of like Pentecostal as well.
It's called Planet Church.
Planet Shakers.
Oh, Planet Shakers.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds like intense. A good as hell casual dining restaurant.
Or like a gym.
Yeah.
We're so stupid. What restaurant you get? Oh, in Melbourne, Australia, contemporary worship band.
Yeah.
From Adelaide.
So I'm about, I live about an hour out of Melbourne. So,
And look at that. In 2002, the Australian Idol winner, Guy Sebastian, he was a member of the band. One of the members came out and said he had a long-term pornography addiction. A new theme in our podcast episode is being addicted to
tell
porn.
Him, tell about him having a porn addiction.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember actually, with that guy, I remember, like, he wrote a song. And I think, like, he was pretty closely linked with Hillsong as well. And I remember, like, we sang, like, one of a song that he wrote in church about, like, God healing him and stuff, but it was like this whole fake cancer thing, and I was like, and then we even hung it after that came out, and I'm like,
Wait, do you know about this?
There was a fake cancer thing in Hillsong?
So, Hillsong, there was a guy, you probably know this song, you might know this song, I believe you're my healer. And it was like about a guy, like the guy claimed, I had cancer. I wrote this song when I was going through chemo, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns out he was just like a pathological liar who had faked cancer and
or
was
a storyteller.
Or what we call
an actor.
A
writer.
Yeah, what's the bio? Storyteller, author, artist, influencer,
lover of words.
So he came up with this like wild, elaborate thing, and it came out, no, I was just like, you know, jacking off a lot. It wasn't porn.
You know what's crazy? That is almost like verbatim the same thing that happened at Nate's home church. Like, there was a guy that did that thing, like said I was sick, had people praying for him, healing him, and then I think also came out with a porn addiction once he was like found out.
Why is that the go-to?
What a weird trap.
Porn addiction does not exist. I think compulsive porn use is a symptom of like repression and a lot in depression.
Mm.
And I think like porn addiction as like an issue, it's that makes sense to me that it keeps coming up with people because it's like this is a compulsive behavior linked.
Yeah, I guess it's like how you do define the addiction then is like, is it about the underlying problems you have or is it about the actual like thing that you can't stop?
Well, I wonder what the psychology, like the actual sciences too, because there's things like substance addictions, which like we know that there are drugs and alcohol can be addictive. But then there's behavioral addictions, which is like being on your phone too much or
gesture heavy.
Or, you know, like things like that where it's not like, it's not technically, Caroline just threw her phone across the room.
It's like right next to me.
I'll prove him wrong.
I don't like it.
I wonder. I don't know if
I see what you're saying.
Would be basically,
because I feel like it's thrown around a little loosely, especially around Christians too. Because it's basically like if you looked at porn
twice
you have a porn addiction. Yeah, it's like
I would
might have a porn addiction if.
Oh, I love Reformed Jeff Foxworthy. If you got Pornhub in your bookmarks, you might be a porn addict.
Yeah.
Well, if it's in your bookmarks, maybe.
There.
Now,
you can't remember how Pornhub is spelled. I would love it, though, if one of these like scammy worship leader, songwriter guys did write a song that's about like their healing of whatever illness they're faking, and the lyrics are like, I got a hard on for Jesus love. I need to release it all. And it's just like a bunch of
blood flow.
X marks a spot where Jesus healed me or something like that.
That would be cool. They should do that.
Oh, man. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for calling and
sharing. No worries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good Friday. TGIF.
Yeah. Yeah,
over
thank
there.
You. Yeah.
Blooming onion. Yeah. Oh, no, that's all back. Sorry. That's offensive. Gotta go. Pod bless. Thanks, Crystal. Oh, goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. What you
are blooming onion.
Okay. If you had seen The Leftovers, you would know that that's not a stupid. Hang on. I have a call to take.
Did you hang up on that person so you can finish your leftovers? Hold on.
Hello.
I'm sorry. Hello. You're on the line with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, boy. I'm so glad you guys are having so much good Christian fun already. My
good
name
Christian
is
fights.
Zoe. I'm from Boston.
Joy. Hi, from Boston. Oh, Zoe.
Zoe.
Zoe. Why did I hear Joy? I guess I just... produce aww. So
just
much
joyful atmosphere.
I'll answer to anything you call me, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Well, we're talking about, you know, we put up a call for like talking about holidays and families. If anyone had any questions or testimonies or prayer requests regarding
general
that
prompts.
Or whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I do have something on topic. Ooh. So I just had a question about your maybe like kind of weird Christian traditions that you did in your family for Christmas, because I grew up, my mom was a devout Southern Baptist, you know, front lines in the war on Christmas. And my
by the way, can you tell your mom next time you see her, thank you for her service?
Yeah, and that I salute
her. She was great. And my father was like an agnostic, anti-establishment kind of guy. So the two of them, along with the fact that we didn't really have a lot of money growing up, meant that Santa did not exist in our house, because they didn't want us to think that we had been bad. And that's why Santa didn't give us presents. Aww. But also my dad thought it was like a dumb commercialistic sort of thing. And then my mom thought it was just straight up paganism. So there was no Santa in my house, and we were just told that Santa was a lie made up by greedy, stupid people and sinners.
Marks the spot.
Did that make you feel like you weren't getting to fully participate in Christmas? Did that bum you out as a kid, or were you like, yeah,
no,
that makes sense?
No, it started you know, a lifelong habit of thinking that most people are idiots.
Whoa.
Or liars.
I know the condescension of playing along with other children, like, well, what's Santa bringing you this year?
Well, that's the thing, is when I was like 5 or 6 years old, one of my parents' proudest moments of me is when a neighbor dragged me home by the elbow because I told her son that Santa wasn't real and his presents just came from Toys R Us.
R.I.P. Jeffrey the Giraffe.
And she just like deposited me on the doorstep and was like, do you know what your daughter just did? And my dad was like, she's not wrong. She won't come over anymore, I promise.
Wow.
Wow, what great backup in that moment.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
I also ended up telling that kid that like all those men at his house weren't really his uncles. It was impossible.
Oh, no.
And my mom was like, she's not wrong about that either.
Wow. You were a little freaking truth spitter, like angry prophet of your neighborhood
prophet.
Block.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You should see me now. So one of the things that we did do that my dad thought was, you know, hilarious and captured on home video, but my mother did very earnestly, was we made a birthday cake for Jesus. Aww. Every year.
Did you sing the song? You know how the song goes?
No, what song?
Oh, the song like, is Happy Birthday, Jesus. Does anyone else know?
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad it's Christmas.
No.
It sounds familiar.
Whoa.
I think we just sang regular Happy Birthday.
Okay. Well, I feel like an asshole, Zoe.
No, I think that's better.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, my memory is ruined,
Monroe,
but that's okay.
I'm going to play it for you guys later.
I believe you. I believe it's real. Baking your birthday cake. Did you guys get to eat it after?
Oh, yeah. Cool. I think we saved a piece for him.
Caroline gets to the real core of the issue.
That's the hard questions. You save a piece for him?
Yeah, I think we saved a piece for him, but then my dad would just eat it
So your dad is doing Santa. Looking. Yeah.
He's Santa Jesus.
Eating the cookie you gave out.
Hmm. Ho, ho, holy.
Yeah, he ate the piece of cake and then, you know, drank his usual Budweiser.
You know, I mean, as far as like weird religious holiday traditions, we didn't have, I mean, we did the reading of the nativity story on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we would do that too.
But sometimes they would want me to do it doing impressions. So I remember one year I did, and at the time it was okay, but I remember doing like Bill Cosby reading the nativity story.
No.
Back then it was okay. We didn't know. I didn't know. It was pre enlightenment about Cosby.
Problematic.
But I remember that. And then, I guess that wasn't religious tradition.
Like Schwarzenegger.
But no, I'm not your husband.
God, so love the world.
No, I'm trying to remember what the other impressions were.
Nixon, probably.
Yeah.
Nixon.
God is not a crook.
Like what you as a little kid would have, yeah.
I don't remember. Well, it wasn't a little kid. I was like 15 or something.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, no, I was really coming into my own with it. No, I feel like that's something Nate would do now.
Yeah. Like this, I would like it.
I know. That's why you guys are sick and twisted. Did you have any kale? Did you have any weird religious stuff, traditions?
No, not really. I feel weirdly like the religiosity was more in the day-to-day. And then the holidays were just... I guess more about maybe what we didn't do. Like, we also didn't talk about Santa.
Well, Santa.
Right, yeah. we didn't do presents from Santa. We didn't do, but like so much Christmas stuff is so benign. Like, we didn't do Halloween.
No, never Halloween.
No, of course not. But we did, I mean, what we did do, which this is not an answer to the question. This is just me saying a tradition that my family had that I really liked was on Christmas Eve, we would make cookies. Everyone got a new set of pajamas. We'd get in the car and drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Wow.
In your pajamas?
In our pajamas.
That rocks.
Yes. Eating the cookies?
I love that.
The best. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that right now.
I know. But yeah, not so much the religious.
Did you have any?
I feel like my family, like, we were doing it, but like our heart wasn't in it. You know, it was like we should do it, but like no one's really like pumped about it or whatever. Like I'm pretty sure my dad like brought out the family Bible and read the thing in like a stilted tone for a while, and then we're all just like, okay, we're done. Like kind of moved on, or probably did some prayer. I think we only like. Sometimes went to a Christmas Eve service.
What bumps me out is like I remember
carol singing.
You went caroling?
Yeah. No, we didn't go caroling.
You just watched caroling?
I did 1 year.
Oh yeah? I feel like
my youth group did 1 year. It was pretty lame.
I remember this was in my semi recent past, but 7 years ago, the first community group I joined in Pasadena via Reality LA, we did go caroling in a Pasadena neighborhood and sing to people. That. Oh, well, thank God. Because sometimes it would be like fine and fun. It's just a bunch of like millennials singing at somebody. Mm-hmm. But then I forget who it was, but one of the girls afterwards went, "Can we pray for you?" And it's like, well, now this is just emotional, spiritual terrorism.
Yeah.
I understand the hard behind it. Uh-huh. Now you've given this person the chore of being polite. You already sang at them. That's, I guess, a gift. But like the, we pray for it. Like, we don't need that. We do not need that.
Unless they loved it.
Unless they freaking secretly got off on it or something. But I guess those aren't the only two options.
Oh, yeah.
They hated it or they got off on it.
That's the two.
Well, thanks for the question, Zoe. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for answering the phone. I didn't call 45 times in the last 15 minutes.
Whoa.
Zoe, you are tenacious. And I hope you save that extra slice for you.
Hey. And happy...
and for me.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. I'm more of a solstice person now, going straight to hell. But thank you. I appreciate
She's
your sentiment.
She's a witch,
Caroline. Gorgeous solstice.
She sounds like
I am a witch. Sorry, everybody.
Are there any? What are the solstice traditions?
It's mostly acknowledging that it's the darkest time of the year. Well, basically, all Christmas traditions are solstice traditions.
Right.
Is the simple answer. The evergreen trees and the present giving and the you know, the feast and spending time with family and everything like that. So
That's cool.
I got soul, yeah. But I'm not a solstice. That's almost a joke. Okay.
So yeah. We should let you go.
We should let you go. Pod bless, Zoe. Farewell.
All right. Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like...
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, man.
I'm not a solstice.
I got soul, but I'm
solstice.
Man, the Killers were so cool back in the day. I've been sad about coming home for Christmas and then not going to... Well, never mind. My sadness means nothing. You're on the air with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Laura. I'm from Orlando, Florida.
Laura from Florida.
Yeah.
You said that.
No, I said Laura from Florida.
Oh, you said Florida. Okay.
Laura's so glad she called.
Kale.
What a great use
coming
of my
at
night.
Me.
It is 11:05 where Laura is.
Just wasting your day.
Yeah,
time.
I'm past my bedtime, guys.
Ah, oh, I'm sorry. But
what
thank
did you
want to
talk about today?
I actually had like two questions. One actually related to what you guys were posting about and one didn't. Which
yeah.
one would you like?
we'll go with the one related to.
Yeah.
So I've had family issues in the past. In the past two family vacations that I've went to, it didn't end up great. So I'm about to come up on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do for the holidays this season.
Mm. Ooh. So you're looking for alternatives to going home, or just ways to make going home bearable?
Maybe going home bearable, or maybe bringing some camaraderie with my family. Mm. I don't know.
You mean bringing camaraderie, like bringing a friend?
Oh, I wish I could bring a friend. That wouldn't be possible.
Nah, because that would help significantly. People get in,
right?
Get on their best behavior.
And that,
I feel like I relate to this question.
Kale relates.
Yeah,
yeah. Because
this is a space that I've been in as I have like had trouble navigating my place within my own family and my identity and what they think about my identity and that kind of thing. So it might not be helpful, but things that have been helpful to me are understanding that as this like gap grows, that you're in a really kind of interesting position now of being able to take ownership of the relationship and decide what kind of relationship you do want. And so I think really advocating for yourself with some specific boundaries. And for me, what that has meant is I tell them what I want to do when I come home instead of waiting to be told what I'm going to participate in. I like to let them know what I would like to do. And I also, this like bring a friend, I think maybe you can't physically bring a friend, but something I did have done that I've really appreciated is I've had like pre-scheduled times where I'm like, hey, family, I am going to at 6 o'clock on Thursday. I can't actually come to dinner because I'm going to see a friend in town, or I have a phone call already on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So just kind of like self-advocating in a way that I wasn't maybe enabled to, but now I'm trying to be, is something that has been helpful to me.
And I totally tried in the past. Like, I live here. My family comes here. So like when they're here, I go to my own space and try to get my own time and try to kind of separate myself so I can calm down. The problem is that my family gets heated and they have arguments. So it's hard to like diffuse it all. It's interesting. We'll see. I'll take in what you said, because I think the separation really does help with that.
Yeah. And building in like your own events within the time, being like, I'm letting you know now at 7, I'm going to go here, or I'm going to talk with this friend or something. I also like the idea of bringing an activity that you'd like to do. I think that's a good idea. Like maybe you
Sudoku? Say like,
a game, or I'm kind of saying like a charades game, or even like, hey, I have this complicated cake recipe. Like we're going to do that together or something.
Oh, my sister's all about that.
That might be kind of nice. Yeah, just like if you need a diversion. But again, if everyone's like fighting and just being awful, then you're within your rights to kick them to the curb.
And my sister's that. My sister's that person. She's always the person like, we have to have a plan so no fights can happen. Mm. She's that person.
Yeah.
And I'm always just like, I'm just here. Can I have a glass of wine?
Yeah.
That's me. And it's hard because I don't, like, that was part of my second question of, like, I don't have a lot of friends right now. I kind of, like, segregated myself from bad people in my like, toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't have a whole lot of people to turn to. So, like, if I go and segregate myself from my family, I don't have another place to go to at the moment. Mm.
Yeah, I understand that.
I'm a conundrum.
That's hard, yeah.
Yeah, that's really hard to, like, build that stuff, too.
Uh-huh. Because that was my other...
With the
that
other
was my other question of like, I don't know how to find friends right now.
Oh,
and
I mean,
I'm too lazy to wake up for church.
I
tell you what, it's the eternal question of adulthood is how to
make friends,
but then maintain the friendships that you want to, because it does suck.
Because
it's like
my
job.
Friends were
and,
all,
who were they all?
All my friends like were toxic alcoholics. Yeah. And then all my friends at work are all married and I'm very single. So it's really hard.
Mm. And they're just not interested in like hanging out with you alone.
Yeah, they're really not. They're like all have their friends with their like husbands and it's fine. I'm happy just for them.
Kevin gave me a look.
I mean, Caroline can't relate, but you know.
Well, I am trying to find new friends, so I can also relate too.
Has it been going okay?
Yeah,
what have
I feel
you
like
done?
It's been going good. I don't know if mine's like replicatable, but it was like a friend out of another friendship, like your friendship with Ross, and I met Ross and like kind of found that. And then like Nate's friend at work, like his wife, I guess, it's just like stuff that people tell you a lot, but just you keep asking people out until when I they think, relent.
This is such a cheesy answer, but like what friendship develops from like academically is repeated unplanned interactions.
Right.
They can't be all unplanned, right?
Well, or like
seems impossible.
Where you happen to be around someone.
I just got freaked out.
So I think
but spontaneous are you saying
there's a level of spontaneity to the relationship. Not necessarily like maybe you know you're going to see them, but I mean this is cheesy as hell advice, but truly I think taking a class in an interest area at least exposes you, and truly anything, like for me it was all my friends in LA came from
improv baby.
Yeah.
And taking improv.
That's not stupid because that's the thing is like you look at that class of people that you've come up with for X amount of years, and it's not different from people who you would meet at art school if you went to one of those. It just functions differently because you're all performing publicly at the same time. And it's not different for me as people who like you guest on their show or they guest on yours, and so many friendships have sprung out of that. And that is so analogous to like taking a class and then just being like so pursuant about the one, and it's hard, it's brutal and vulnerable.
Oh, I'm so bad at that.
I know. And it's just like getting the skin to just accept a certain amount of rejection from those people and like just a certain batting average and the idea of unfortunately it is a numbers game to a degree, because it's like if there's 10 people and you hit it off with five of them and then three of them reciprocate, you know, like it is just one of those situations. But this is like it's such a central question for us in this point of our lives, right? It's just like how to make and maintain friendships.
Yeah,
and
build community.
In your 30s.
Yeah, maybe like pre-kids, you know, so you don't have like the parents of the other kids can be my friends or something. Like that's not the link there. I won't meet people at school yet. I'm out of school.
Like, I have two girlfriends that I was really, really great friends with, and they now both have kids, and now I don't talk to them at all.
I know. I mean, is that mutual, or is that like you pursued them and they were cold to you, or?
A little of both. Like, I think that was one of those things where, like, we should hang out sometime, and I was like, cool, I'm free every single night because I don't have children, so you let me know.
I know. Well, you know, and I've been in that same position with friends of mine who have had children too, and I've had to, like, and it sucks and it feels bad a lot of times, but I've just had to say, are you free Friday the 19th at 7? You know,
yeah, I'm going to this planet. Movie whether or not you're there.
Yeah. Advance notice.
And actually, I actually did that exact move where it's like, we're going to this movie. Can you guys come and get a sitter? We're going in like 2 months. Yeah, it was for Star Wars. I was like, I'm buying tickets. Do you guys want to come? And one of them actually, you know, one of them has to stay home and take care of the kids. But the other one is a guy that I don't get to hang out and see a lot. And then he was able to join us. So it's stuff like that where you feel almost just like building the armor of always constantly feeling that you have to be the pursuant one and in that position of like almost looking or feeling thirsty, and then just
exactly
but accepting that as the price for companionship, because some people do need to love people like you're a person worth loving. Do you know what I mean? Which is maybe like a horrible way to put it, but in a sense of like people meaning stuff to you, and then and you just like expressing it in that sense. I think obviously it's like easy to talk this and like all these things we're saying, and it's so much harder to do. But I think
so hard to do.
Yeah,
and it sucks because like I hang out with my sister instead, and she has two kids, so it's like I'm not hanging out with my friends who have kids. I just traded off for my sister who has kids, which is fine. I love them, so it's great.
Does she have any friends that you can poach?
No, she has no friends. We're just each other's friends.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I feel like people with kids probably are also kind of lonely and probably would appreciate a friend reaching out and saying like, hey, come.
Yeah.
I've heard that. So
I just hang out with my sister all the time, which gets annoying. So it's because
it's sibling. Yeah, you can only do that so many times.
Whoa.
It's hard.
Shouts out Genevieve. Shouts out Casey.
Love Genevieve.
I love Casey. Oh, boy. Well, good luck with that. I'm sorry it's been hard.
And thanks, guys.
I hope the holidays are more fruitful and nourishing for you. And like Kale was saying, that you can put in certain boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
And teach people how you want to
be treated. I try. Yeah, and like I want to tell you guys this. I work at Disney, so anytime you want to come to Florida and hang out, I've got your hookup. So.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, Laura, we'll get your info afterwards.
Yeah. I was the girl who was at the Lauren Daigle concert at Epcot.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Oh, boy, that's where she is. Caroline's favorite artist we've ever covered on the show.
It's not my favorite.
It's the only one you've ever given a holy toast to.
It's not true.
All right, well, pod bless, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Laura.
You too, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
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 I always come back to this question. I don't know what the answer is. I've just like I've made peace, I think, in the last 6 months of I'm gonna be that bitch that's always like, do you want to get lunch?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm sure people like it
because it's never as thirsty as it.
You feel.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. You're on the line with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Sammy. I'm from Idaho.
Sammy from Idaho. Good to meet you. Well, we're talking about family, holidays, adult friendships, Leftovers Season 3.
Porn addiction. Australia.
Sudoku.
Yeah. Anything you want to throw in the mix.
What's on your heart?
Well, the holiday prompt got me thinking. When I was growing up, going to church, we always had a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. Did you guys have those?
Yeah. They're particularly pretty.
Yep, were they lighting a candle?
Mm-hmm.
I was so stressed out about getting wax on my hands.
I know. Yeah. It's not like it. You're like,
that always freaks me out.
Yes. Yeah.
But now as an adult, I look forward to it. I like the pain. There's this like story that it's one of those like greatest hits family anecdotes that gets retold over and over again of our dad scolding us at a Christmas Eve service about like dripping wax on the seeds while he's just like making a freaking Jackson Pollock painting underneath him with his candle. So that's always one of my first thoughts when I think of Christmas Eve service
that's
stuff.
Great.
Oh, that's a great one.
I'm a sucker for it. Like, I like being a rube for that. So, or like going to like a super popular mainstream movie and just like, I want to be manipulated.
Night
by
church.
I want to do Holy Night while everyone's singing by candlelight and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
Exactly. I still love those services.
Yeah, because it has like some mystery and like of the like magical quality around it. I think the churches I went to growing up were so boring day to day that to have anything, the Christmas Eve ceremony being like laid at different time, you have a candle.
Right.
Yeah, that like really made it feel like a special event.
And you're singing like the oldest songs in the church and it's almost a little bit more like everyone knows these songs. Like everyone actually does know these songs, like culture wide. It's not just church people. We're like participating in this big thing. And a surprise Jesus is going to be born tomorrow.
Surprise Jesus?
Yeah.
Pops out.
The Jesus you're expecting.
It's a nice time.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to one this year?
Yes. I still go to church. Well, I don't know if the church I go to right now does candlelight services.
Make them.
Show up with a candle. And if they tell you to put it out.
You bang at those doors.
Just throw lighters at everybody.
When I was in elementary school, we started going to a church plant. So they met in an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year we went there, they did a candlelight service. And it turns out they had decided to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. So we never did any more candlelight services at elementary school.
The school burned to the ground.
Trouble.
I know. I guess that's fire hazard stuff because that didn't happen at the Reality LA when they used
bunch
to be
of
in
open
high school.
Flame. Yeah, yeah, a school would be bad.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
You
wait, were you there? That just, this is an off topic memory, but were you there the morning that the pastor, Tim Chaddick, he the fire alarm kept going off in the school and no one knew why, and he preached through it like
the whole time.
Yeah, well, like for 6 minutes of the sermon.
Jeez.
So it was like
and he kept going
and he was yelling. He was like, it's fine, we don't need to evacuate, but he kept preaching. It was like a masterclass of focus to even, because then eventually like just through repetition you started tuning out the fire alarm, which is a little alarming in and of itself. Whoa. But it was, yeah, it was a wild thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
And no one just stood up to leave?
No, because he said, like, oh, this has been happening today. Don't worry about it. And they just kept barreling through. Because, you know, I had to keep on schedule and stuff. Because yeah. The gospel's too important.
The gospel, you got to push through. That would be weird. Yeah, like, he could have just stopped the sermon, I guess. No, he can't.
Have church outside.
God would have, if it was really a fire.
God would understand.
You know. Yeah.
Certainly.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I love your guys' show so much. I appreciate everything you've done and everything. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
That's very sweet to
thanks.
Say.
Thanks, I work really
means
hard.
A lot.
Yeah, Kale especially was really
kind of
touched
the lion's
by
share.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at the episodes, the four episodes Kale's been on, including this one, as kind of the four pillars
sure.
of GCF.
Right.
Without them, it's just a bunch of nonsense that would crumble to the ground. I think we can all agree on that.
For sure. Well, you guys have a good rest of your night.
All right, you too. God bless. Care. We should do like candlelight podcasting. Wouldn't that be
Ooh,
fun?
Spooky.
That's what PFT used to do for Spont. He would like they would turn
just
off
light candles and do it.
They would light candles in very dim lamps in the room.
And that was supposed to make you feel like creative.
He said it was literally that. He said Ooh. Working in dim light and without like harsh halogens or something like that opened up people creatively.
That would help if you're not being like someone's watching my face too closely.
Yeah,
you know?
Even though it's audio. You're on the line with Kevin, Caroline, and special guest Kale Hills. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh my gosh, hi guys.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
My name is Devin from Virginia. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Doing all right. Repeat that name again. I didn't quite get it.
Devin.
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 Like my
Devin,
name.
You seem like surprised.
Devin like Kevin. Yeah.
Man, we were talking about holidays and family stuff. If you got stuff on that, we can talk about it. But if not, we can talk about that too.
Cool, because I don't. I have a different question just about church. I have been going to church pretty much as long as I can remember, since I was probably about 8 years old. My mom and I started going to church after my parents got a divorce, and I stopped going about 3 years ago. When I was in church, I was always volunteering. I mean, even since I was like a little kid, I was always volunteering. I ended up working for several churches, actually got paid for churches. I ended up as like the media team director at a church. And I got really burned out after a while. I got really burned out from all of this volunteering and having to get up super early to help set up and all of this stuff every single Sunday and being such a big part of it. But I was always told, like, from pastors and through a lot of messages at a lot of different churches, that volunteering is very important and that it's just very difficult for me to go to church and just sit and just be there and not help out. After being told so many times that being a Christian and being at church means you have to be a part of it. You have to be all in, as they say. You have to give everything you have to the church, and you really have to, you know, make it a big part of your life. And if you don't, then you're just taking and you're not giving anything back. So I guess my question to you guys would be, you know, I said I stopped going to church about 3 years ago, and honestly, I just feel very free because of that now, that I get to make that choice, and I don't feel like I'm forced to have to go anymore. Basically, the church that I was going to, the pastor, we found out, ended up being kind of a dick, and, you know, that happens. But since then, it's honestly just been kind of nice to not have to go. And just being able to say, I don't have to go if I don't want to, and feeling okay about that. So anyway, my question is basically, why do you guys still go to church? What are you getting out of it? Do you volunteer? I know, Kevin, you worked for the church for a while. Do you guys still do any volunteering or work for the church? And do you feel bad if you don't?
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. And I know what you mean about once you get into that rhythm of like, here's my role and here's what I do and here's the people counting on me and this is how I provide value. And if I don't, then I am worthless and I don't deserve to be. And like, and then like, it's either you are a servant of the utmost high God or a friggin' consumer poser. Like, parasite. That's the, yeah, a parasite. That's the way it feels like the dichotomy is. I don't know. For the church I'm going to right now, I started volunteering over there a couple months ago. Not because of any like specific pressure, but because I felt just like a true desire to. And honestly, as much as it is like helping out and giving back and blah, 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 and all the stuff that's supposed to be, it's also just like on a not altruistic level and on a selfish level, just a good way to integrate yourself into with different kinds of people and different and making adult friends, like we were talking about earlier on this episode. It's just a good path for that. And that's because that's what I want in my life at this point in time. And that may not be what you want, but I was going for months and months and months before without doing any of that volunteer stuff. And because I was so new at the church and I was still getting to know it and the rhythms of it, I didn't feel any particular like guilt or shame about not participating in it wholeheartedly. And if I didn't feel like a true desire to volunteer every 3 or 4 weeks or however much I've been doing it, then I wouldn't, and I would step back, because I've just like, having been involved in church so much of my adult life, you just, everyone just has like PTSD issues or like stories from other people about like, oh yeah, I worked and that was burnt out, now I hate everybody, or you know, like, yeah, like, and no one looks out for it infrastructurally. Even like the best, kindest people can't look out for it infrastructurally, for like grinding volunteers down to the ground. So that's definitely something, yeah, you have to look out for yourself with. So for me, a lot of it, and as far as like going to church, has been selfishly friendship stuff, relationship stuff, and feeling nourished by serving, rather than a compulsion to not feel like a jerk for being there, or like feeling like I've had to balance the scales. So that may, yeah, not be true of everyone and of like your circumstance currently, but that's where I found it to be. And I'm sure there's going to be Sundays where it's like, I don't feel like doing this at all. But I think that's all just a part of it, and balancing it is important. And right now I'm in the kind of like honeymoon phase of like, look at all these new people I love serving. So that's definitely not going to last. But I think that you should not feel, it's going to be hard to deprogram feeling that guilt in just hanging out and just taking it in and just feeling fed or nourished by wherever you are. But it is possible. And a church that would actively make you feel otherwise wouldn't be a church worth going to.
Agreed.
You probably felt this in like getting that close to the leadership or whatever, but I find that like this feeling is so systemic because like the head pastor actually feels like they have to spend themselves like running a church, and that like attitude trickles down to the volunteers and the way they ask for volunteers or the way they ask of you to participate. And I found that like a lot of pastors, especially head ones, especially ones that turn out to be dicks, are actually like highly perfectionistic, really hard on themselves, and do like, yeah, put in too much time and probably don't have their own boundaries around like giving time to the church. And so that just like spreads to everyone else and almost always falls on the congregants of like that guilt feeling of like, oh, I have to earn my place here and I have to earn like the love and the respect of the church and give back. And so when I sing my songs and I feel good, I'm also making sure I'm contributing to the feel good and all that. And it's pretty messed up. And I find also that like maybe in the churches I've gone to, or the ones you experienced, like churches are always operating on this deficit that like, because they need to be growing. So that always comes out as like desperation of like, we need you to be here and we need you to give everything and show up because we're going to die if you don't. And also if we're not dying, we need to be triple the size. And so they're always like pushing and pushing you farther and farther. And then you burn out like you did. And like I have, and I think a lot of people, my husband did, and all that stuff. So I think it's like, it's partly just structural, like this weird top down CEO pastor who like puts everything into it and then makes that the attitude that everyone has to have. And that's why it always feels like that, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say the last pastor that I had, you know, I felt that like that was really true with him. And he was, you know, being the pastor, that was his job. I mean, he got paid to do that. And so, I mean, it was his church that he founded, and so obviously he was going to put a lot of himself into that. But it's, I feel like it was hard for him to understand that we all had jobs, and we all had to get paid. Like, it was to the point where, like, one of my good friends that was volunteering there, like, she told him, like, she had really bad depression. And she told him it got to the point where, hey, I can't volunteer as much as I have been doing. It's been way too much on my mental health and on my job. And he was basically like, well, you need to stop working at your job so much so you can work for the church.
Wow.
And that was one of the things that pushed us to leave.
I mean, it's like also kind of tragic if you think like that man is also putting that pressure on himself to like put that much into the church too.
Yeah.
Doesn't excuse his behavior or any of that, but it's like, I guess in getting close to those same kind of pastors too, I'm like, geez, it's relentless for you too. Like you literally can't do enough for this church, and that must be awful.
You know, one of the ways that the leadership at the church I go to right now communicates money or offering stuff is they say, give what you can, but take what you need. So if it's like, you can't make rent, just let us know and then we'll like cover it or something. And I think that attitude has overflowed to the way they look at volunteer stuff, where it's like, volunteer if you can, but if you don't, like they're not in a position of like taking or like on
that's so nice, because I think acknowledges that it's fluid and there is not a right answer to how much time should you be spending volunteering. However much time is like gratifying to you, and that's going to be a different answer month to month, day to day.
Totally. Yeah. And there's times where it's like, oh, for these 4 months, I feel like I can get real into it. And then for the next 4 months, I absolutely can't because of this project at work or this thing or that thing. And so, yeah, like maintaining that fluidity, because so many places I've been to before, like, okay, well, can you do it once a month forever? It's like, all right. Mm-hmm. Like they want you in the system and then just like.
And learning to say no is such a hard skill in any arena.
Like
a church community or otherwise.
Yeah. Well, especially when your spiritual life is on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does sound like maybe I've just been going to the wrong church.
I'm also like on a nice sabbatical from church right now, and I feel you in that like same kind of like, God, it feels so good that like no one expects me to be here, or when I do show up or I'm not showing up, so no one can even guilt me into volunteering. I'll just be here. I mean, even at the church we've gone to, I get the pang of guilt that your church, Kevin, is like, It's a roadboat, not a cruise ship. So you need to be here. You can't just sit and like enjoy it. And that's always gotten to me a couple times. Like, fuck. Like, if I'm here, I'm expected to do something, you know. And I also can see where churches are coming from, because like they do need volunteers. This isn't a company; they're not making profit. Like, there's something good about everyone feeding into this like socialist idea of like helping the church or whatever. I think that's the nuance that's lacking. Yeah, it's like, but at what cost, and like when, and can you, and sometimes no.
How would Bernie run the church? Shut up. Mike keeps limping down. Good grief.
You guys familiar with socialism as like a concept?
Fuck you. Hang up.
Oh, hell yeah. This rocks. Devin is my favorite caller of all time now. There's no better note to go out on.
Is this just you on like a voice changer?
No.
Devin.
I love you, Caroline. I love you both so much.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thanks for the call, Devin. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I hope you find the church that's compatible with what you want and need right now.
If ever.
Yeah. What was that? I'm sorry, one more time.
Oh, I just said, I hope you find the church that's compatible with what you need right now.
Or I don't, and I just enjoy not going.
No. You need to go if you're going to continue listening to this show.
Honestly, yeah.
I'd be much more comfortable with that. All right.
Well, thank you guys.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it, and I love you guys.
Oh, have a good one. Too, buddy.
I love
See ya.
You.
Whoa, that ended so intimate. Wow. Are we in a relationship with Devin now?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the song. We're going to end on this.
Jesus.
Thanks for all your calls.
Again, as a slam dunk class of callers, we always get the best callers.
Couldn't have said it better myself. A slam dunk class of callers.
Thank you.
Beauty and the Beast. Almost. Here it is.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
the listeners will feel me and resonate on this.
Maybe I've heard this.
Hashtag Kevin was right all along.
We didn't deny that.
No, but you were like, I never heard of it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
At Kevin, we support you. Right.
Hashtag chilies. Oh, man. Thanks for joining us, Kale.
Thanks, Kale.
Thank you so much.
Well, you were
me.
So sweet. I found this to be true of you and of Alyssa last time, and of Simone the time before. Just like, it's nice to have a third person in the room that can be so empathetic and listening and a good receiver of the people that call in.
Well, half of that is the callers just being open and honest.
Very open, yeah.
And so you meet people where they're at.
What a gift. Oh, man. Well, we'll see you next week on Second Service when we do something different. Jesus, I love you. Goodbye.
Jesus, I love you. Good night.
Good night. I wish Carson would have signed off that way. Jesus, I love you. Good night.